Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
No matter what you think you pull, you'll find it's not enough. No matter who you think you know, you won't get through. It's a given LA law. Someone's faster on the draw. No matter where you hide, I'm coming after you.
His name is Bobby the Seer.
Yep.
And he is your artist of the day. Hello, my good friends.
Good day.
Hi, my people.
It is hello, a Tuesday hello. Throwback to the 80s, and Bob Seger is your artist of the day, and that is a jam. We got a lot to get to today. But before we get started, we are going to play mixtape later on this afternoon.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. It's been a while. What'd you say, Sam? It's been like 3 months since
we
played
mixtape? Yeah, a couple of months.
Tape? Really?
It's been a while.
Hmm. Okay. So I got your categories here. I'm going to get rid of that one. I'm bringing these two in. Okay. All right. I'm ready to go.
All right.
So here we go.
How many are there? Three or four?
Three categories.
All right.
Are you guys ready?
I am.
I'm going to put that one there. I'm going to put this one here. Okay. Get your pen and paper ready. What time do you guys want to do this?
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Okay.
You good with that?
Yeah. Don't think we've ever done this one. Best song. Do you need time to get your pen? Are you digging in that monstrosity?
I was not aware I would need a writing utensil.
Just type it out on your computer.
Okay, fine.
Oh, you're not in a mood.
Not today. No, not today. I'm good.
Okay.
Technology's hard.
I know. God.
Are you ready to type?
Yeah, I'm ready to type.
Best song to be carried off of any field or arena after a glorious victory.
Okay.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
That's an interesting one. SNL band and song you would like to introduce. Okay. So you know how they say...
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, The Killers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just step aside and they play their song.
Okay.
All right. So caveat on this one. Band has to be alive and still together.
All right.
It would be awkward if you introduced a band
right.
that was
so you right. can't do like Nirvana right. or Thin Lizzy or something like that, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Lennon. Here's one.
This now, does it have to be a band?
No.
It can be a solo artist.
They have to be alive and still performing.
But it can be a solo artist.
Yes.
Okay.
Here's the last one. This is interesting. You're the seventh wheel at a dinner party full of couples that keep calling each other babe and baby. You look down at your text message to discover you've just been dumped for the fourth time this year. You're clearly a tramp. This song plays in your head as you realize you've been dumped for the fourth time this year.
And via text message, no less.
Yeah.
Got
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's better, so than, a post, better than a post-it note, but not
yeah,
by
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Best song to be carried off the field or arena after a great victory. SNL band and song. You have to play the song, specific song,
okay,
that you want to introduce on SNL. And you're the seventh wheel at a six-party dinner. And you've just been dumped by text.
Got it.
Okay, we'll play that at 3 o'clock this
for the fourth time that year.
For the fourth time.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's not good.
Apparently you get around.
Well, and yeah, at what point do you start thinking...
Maybe it's me.
Right. Maybe there's an issue that isn't the other person.
If you keep getting dumped, how did you get three more girlfriends that year? That doesn't make any sense.
You can get into a relationship, you just can't stay in one.
What's the worst way you ever got dumped?
Text message.
You were dumped on a text message?
Yeah.
Oof.
It's Oof. Not you, it's me.
I got ghosted
actually,
one time.
Actually, yes, like, that was part of the phrase, yeah.
See, ghosting wasn't around when we were all dating.
What's ghosting?
Didn't even really get dumped.
They
just no communication whatsoever.
Oh, they just disappear.
They just go dark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bye-bye. No reason, no rhyme, no explanation. Bye-bye.
That's ghosting?
It is the most cowardly, horribly juvenile thing to do to another person.
It's quite petty, yeah. Cutting off all communication to avoid the tough conversation.
Instead of just saying, look, I'm not feeling it, this isn't working out, you just disappear.
What's the worst way you ever got dumped?
After I purchased him an expensive watch I could not afford.
Is this the lawyer guy at KU?
Yeah, yeah. He opened it.
I thought you didn't like him.
Well, I didn't.
After this.
He opened his present, handed it back and said, I can't do this. And then I went to take the watch back to this little store on Mass Street and they looked at me and said, we don't do returns. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
How much money did you drop on?
Well, I mean, I was in college, so does it even matter? Yeah, like, I mean, let's say it was like $300 or something. Yeah, it was 300 I didn't have, but it was his birthday. I'm like, here. And he looked at it, handed it back and said, I just don't think this is working out.
Not and a I was Rolex, like, you're done.
The watch? Like, do you want another color? What do you mean? Oh, my God.
Did you go psycho?
Oh, it was the worst. I was just like, really?
Did you use that voice like, what do you mean? Why are you leaving me? But I'll going stalk so you. Well. I know where you live.
No. Thank God that did not work out.
I have a knife block in my dorm. Don't make me use it.
You know I open carry.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's bad. What about you?
I don't know that I've ever had like a horrible breakup. I do remember, and this was right after, I'm not going to name names, but I remember I was very suspicious. I was very suspicious. And I went over to her house. And again, I'm not going to name any names. Mm. But so don't guess, please, because you know who I've dated since I've gotten divorced. Sure. I got onto her Facebook because I went to her house when I knew she was at work. And I got onto her Facebook on her computer.
Ew.
And I read a message.
That was not intended for you.
Correct.
Well, so that's sort of like being dumped in a roundabout side door kind of way.
I just remember sitting there at the computer and I was like,
oh.
Damn. So I wrote everything down on a piece of paper. I grabbed a piece of paper from the desk. I can't believe I'm telling this story. And I wrote everything down on a piece of paper. And then I called her on the phone and I asked, who is so-and-so? And she goes, oh, he's just a friend. And I said, oh, really?
Oh,
yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, yeah, he's a friend.
And then you're Angela Lansbury.
And then, I went Murder, She Wrote. And I said, do friends write this to other friends? And I read it verbatim off the note that I had written down. And you could have heard a pin drop on the other end of that line.
Listen to this from the text line. I drove all the way up to Seattle with a girlfriend, and I said I would help her move home. We broke up while in Seattle, and then I had to ride back with her.
Mm-mm. Nice.
I had to do...
Why would you not extend that until you got back?
I had something similar.
Oh. Talk to me, Dr. Seuss.
It was not here to Seattle. It was Omaha to Memphis.
That's long. That's a 7-hour drive right there.
I think it was longer than that even. I think it was about 12.
Talk to me, Goose.
Well, it's a very long story. I'm going to boil it down to its barest essence, but basically we broke up and
Wait. Were you living in Memphis and were on vacation in Omaha?
No, I was living in Omaha. Okay. We were living together in Omaha, and we broke up. And as part of that, she said, by the way, I've taken a job in Memphis. I have no one to drive the U-Haul. You have to do it. And I said, is there quite literally anyone else that could possibly do this?
Like anyone?
Yeah. No. So
you better get yourself a Class C license then, sister.
The problem was she had to take her car, and the car was not one of those that you could put on the little car dolly thing.
Got it.
So I got to drive her U-Haul to Memphis.
Did you consider hiring someone to do this?
Right.
At the time, this was not really an option. There was, yeah, the budget was tight. And
did you guys say a word to each other on the way to Memphis?
No, we did not.
Not one word.
Awkward. No. Well, and the thing of it was, she used to always yell at me, and that was part of the reason why we broke up, because that was the way that she communicated, was by yelling. And we get there. She wants me to hook up her washer and dryer, and I say,
what?
I said, at this point, I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll do it. She's like, I'm going to Walmart. Do you need a screwdriver? I said, no, I don't need a screwdriver. I'll be fine. Are you sure you don't need a screwdriver? Yes, I'm sure. And then she goes to Walmart. 10 minutes later, I realize that I need something.
You need a screwdriver?
So I call her. I say, hey, have you left Walmart yet? And she instantly goes, I told you that if you needed a screwdriver, you needed to tell me. And so finally, I just said, after she wound down, I just said, I didn't need a screwdriver. I needed a damn socket set.
You told her. Silence.
I can't believe you agreed to hook up her washer and dryer. Unless that's a euphemism for something that you're not explaining.
It was quite literally hooking up the washer and dryer.
I was
over her by the time I drove out the apartment complex gate.
You wanted to hook up her washer with your dryer.
No, I definitely did not.
Yeah, you did.
No.
I can't believe you even drove it.
You said you need a screwdriver.
There was no interest in that at all.
Did you open the door and throw them clothes in? Okay, all right.
No, it was definitely not like that.
576-7798. We'll do mixtape at 3 o'clock this afternoon here on Dana and Parks. She's busting my tail saying, you went on her Facebook page, you stalker? Would it be, first of all, I was suspicious to begin with.
There were already doubts.
Yes, there were signs that there was trouble in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
That's still really creepy.
Would it be any different than going through somebody's phone?
That's also not acceptable.
Real? Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
That is breaking trust.
The trust was broken when you banged somebody else.
I mean, I can't disagree with you on that one, but it's still
going through someone's phone that's not like your 14-year-old child is... Ooh, I would never.
Whoa, I would never. If you... And we all know Chris is the most loyal...
He's pretty loyal.
...human being on the planet. If you suspected Chris of having an affair, which he would never do, you would hesitate before going through his phone?
Why does that make me feel so uncomfortable, the thought of going through somebody else's phone? I'd rather go through someone's top drawer their wallet.
Well, but Dana, I think if you go through somebody's phone because you're insecure, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you have doubts, if there are hints that there's something going on, and you go through your spouse's phone, I don't think that's crazy.
Ooh, it just the phone is such a grossly personal item.
So is my loin.
Emphasis on gross.
I mean, we have each other's passcodes, but I cannot imagine ever picking that thing up and going through it.
But you also can't imagine Chris ever cheating on you either.
No.
But if you started to suspect, oh my God, is he stepping out?
I mean, I guess the phone would be the first place you would go, but I would be so freaked out to do that.
Scott, would you be okay if Kelly went through your phone?
If she had reason to doubt me, but I mean, she can go through my phone right now. I don't care. I've got nothing to hide. But if I had something to hide, yeah, I'd have a problem with her going through my phone. Get it? I have something to hide. Therefore, I have a problem. Now, she's never asked, but if she asked,
be honest, or if anyone...
I would hand it over...
And be like, what?
But I would say, what have I done to make you even question me?
Yeah.
But here's my phone. Go through
it. Don't lie. You would be super annoyed.
I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, I've done nothing wrong. Do you see my point?
Yeah, then hand over
Well, how does she know that without going through your phone? Valid.
Let's go to Nick in Olathe. Hello, Nick.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I won't say it was dumped, but I was cast aside by the use of a voicemail that I left for the woman.
You were dumped in a voicemail?
Well, it was my voicemail to her, and she played it back for me. And the the short of it is I was on the phone. It's like 1982.
Oh, okay.
The old Trimline desk type phone.
Yeah.
And I was leaving her a message at the beginning of the week, and my roommate walked in and, "Oh, I'm sorry, you're on the phone." And I hung up the phone, so I thought, "I'll clean this up." And I said, "Oh, that's okay. I'm just lining up some tail for the weekend."
Oh!
Well, the phone had not hung up.
Whoops.
So a couple days go by, and I'm curious. I call her up. "Hey, what's going on? Everything okay? Let me have you hear this." She played me the voicemail. Okay, enough said.
Line up some tail for the weekend.
What are you doing? I'm just lining up some tail.
He meant lobster tail. He was going to take you to a very nice lobster dinner. Mm-hmm.
But not now.
Not now.
Not after you did that.
No.
Get your
now.
Own cheddar biscuits.
Right.
Buy those yourself.
I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. Gotta make you understand. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you. Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
That's a jam.
We've known each other.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Duh. Isn't he on tour now? He's put out a new record.
Yeah, but it's primarily in the UK. I don't think he has any dates here, but yes.
If he does.
I mean, who wouldn't go? Who would not go be Rickrolled?
I will pay for your and Julie's ticket.
Wow.
Thank you for the invite.
Well, you're welcome.
You don't want to go see Rick Astley.
You're not a Rick Astley super fan.
You weren't even alive when he came out.
I love Rick Astley.
You are such a liar, but you make me laugh.
I really do like Rick Astley.
Nobody likes Rick Astley.
I do.
I do. I'm
no,
looking right
you
now.
Don't. You They're don't all... really like Rick Astley.
I love Rick
you
Astley.
You tolerate. There's a difference.
No.
Play it again, Sam.
No, I don't need to hear it twice.
Play it again.
Rick Astley had some pretty severe jams.
Never gonna make you cry. Never gonna say goodbye.
Oh, Sam's got a good Rick Astley.
Tell a lie. For so long.
How does a short, skinny redhead get a voice like that?
And a nerd.
Well,
right?
Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
People used to tell me I should do covers for him when I was like 13.
You actually dance just like him, and it scares me. It
I'm telling you,
me.
I like Rick Astley.
So funny.
You don't like Rick Astley?
I mean, I don't. You know, when he comes on, I kind of giggle because it takes me back to an era where the hair was too high on my head and... People
did you,
wore awful
did you have
clothing.
The 6-inch dude to the moon?
I had
like the straight wall of hair in the
I
front.
Had the straight wall of bangs.
That's what I meant.
Yes, I did because I was a child of the 80s.
That's so rich.
It's so rich.
Mm. My mullet was solid.
Did you actually have a full-on mullet?
He did. He did, Will.
I've never seen this. I mean,
I'll bring you a picture tomorrow.
Considering your affinity for hair metal, I'm not surprised, but...
Oh, it was rich.
I've never seen this before.
It was Richard Marx-esque.
Oh, yeah.
It was very right here waiting.
Or don't know nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though. It's good investment in hair.
It was solid 1987 Richard Marx.
You think that will ever come back?
No.
No.
We have said that about other things that have come back.
Well, it depends. If you go to Arrowhead on most game days, it never left.
Oh, God, you did not just say that.
I missed it, but it sounded like a good one.
It was a good one. It was a really good one.
Oh, God. Oh, we'll steer it and you're, stay
you're,
down.
You're going to hear about that one, son.
That's fine.
You're gonna
That's
hear
fine.
About that one.
I'll own it.
Trying to be serious.
If you go to Arrowhead, it's never left. it was solid. And then when I went to Nebraska, I didn't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
My parents. This is a true story. My mom told me I could not get a job my freshman year at college.
Yeah.
I was not allowed to work. So she would send me $100 a month.
A trend that continues to this day.
Okay, so
that was really good.
Yeah.
So,
is a mullet cheap or expensive to maintain?
Well, I have curly hair, so it was very well, it wasn't expensive. I did get a perm. Where are you going?
Leaving the mullet conversation.
She's, yeah. I have a pen. We're in the middle of a show. She just got up and walked out. So anyway, my mom would...
You should be used to women doing that to you.
Oh, it just gets better.
That's because it goes
sorry.
Through their phones.
I mean, it was right there.
Wow.
It was right
you
there.
You even missed the best dig of the day.
It's the best dig of the day, and we're only 40 minutes
you,
into the show.
When you left the room, I said, she just walked out. And Stara goes, you should be used to women doing that to you.
Any woman listening knows you can dig in your bag twice for something. Mm-hmm. And on the third attempt where you are still digging,
it's
trying
futile.
To find that thing yeah. in the bottom of your bag,
yeah.
you cross over from agitated to homicidal. Mm-hmm. And that's what just happened.
Okay.
So I got
all
my pen. All right, continue
anyway.
On.
So anyway, so I go up to Nebraska. My mom would not let me have a job my freshman year. So she would send me $100 a month. Oh. Well, that's not going to get me anywhere.
No.
$100 a month, that barely gets me into two parties. So,
right? Priorities.
So I didn't have any money for a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So my hair got really long. And then I made this really smart decision to go out and get both ears pierced.
This is getting even better.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they walk
That's
out.
That's progressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was in 89.
Did you actually go to a salon to have it done,
yes,
or
right
did a buddy with a nail
no,
do it?
No, right down the street from my
a
dorm
nail?
In Lincoln was a salon that pierced ears.
Oh,
and
okay.
So I went in there and I said, do them both. Let's go. Chop, chop. So I got both my ears pierced.
Yeah.
I told you the story about when my dad came up for Thanksgiving.
Quite a catch.
Rip
there.
Your ear off?
No. But anyway, so by the time my dad, my parents, I never saw my parents until Thanksgiving. When I went to college, that was the first time I ever saw my parents after I went to college. And I didn't have a car, so I couldn't drive home. So my dad had to drive his truck all the way up from Leavenworth to Lincoln. And by this point, my hair is long. And I have two gigantic, this is so embarrassing.
Don't tell me you wore hoops.
I most certainly did wear hoop earrings. Yes, ma'am. So I had two giant hoop earrings in my ears. And
like how big around are we talking on these hoops?
Probably about that big.
That's
about that big.
For a dude, that's pretty big.
Yeah. So I had two hoop earrings.
Probably about an inch diameter.
Yeah. I had two giant hoop earrings in my ears, and my hair I had not cut since I left in August. So, and it was already long to begin with. Now it's just long. And I open up, and I was like the last guy out of the dorm for Thanksgiving break. And I hear... And I open up the door, and my dad's standing there. And he looks me dead in the eye, and he goes, ma'am, I'm looking for my son.
That is great.
Outstanding.
I love it.
That was a good payoff. I was getting ready to ask you if he drove from Leavenworth or Branson. But the payoff was good.
Thanks. I'm literally... you're driving me crazy today.
Why is that? Please explain. Have a seat on my couch, Mr. Parks.
Anyway, I digress. A story here from the Kansas City Star, so you know it's true. Ebony Landis, the mother... Oh, check that, sorry. A former student who was brutally attacked at Ruskin High School by the father of his ex-girlfriend.
Now, I had to read this twice.
Yeah, you definitely do.
Okay, the kid was at Ruskin High School... and was attacked inside the school...
by the father of his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. Is now suing, saying that the beating caused severe brain injury and that the Hickman Mills School District did not protect him. When police arrived at the school just after the lunch hour on September 19th of 2017, they found Cullen Landis, then 18, unconscious, bleeding from his ear, with severe cuts to his eye and swelling and bruising to his head. He'd been repeatedly punched and kicked in the head and body by 40-year-old Josiah Wright and Wright's daughter, Jonay, who was then 17.
Yeah, Jonay's the ex-girlfriend.
Josiah is the dad.
Yep.
She pleaded guilty to domestic assault and now 19 is serving a seven-year prison sentence.
7 years.
Her father was found guilty of first-degree assault and is now in the Jackson County Detention Center awaiting sentencing next month. Landis, the young man who was beaten, sued the Hickman Mills School District, Ruskin High School, and several school leaders, saying that they failed to keep him safe while at school. And now Landis, who is 20, is suing Josiah Wright for the attack, which left him hospitalized in critical condition with bleeding on his brain.
Now, listen, a couple of things I want to let you know before we get into this discussion, because the last paragraph stopped me in my tracks, and that's why we're talking about this story. Police indicate that the two teenaged quarreling boyfriend-girlfriend, had a violent on-again, off-again relationship. The boy and the girl.
All right.
Violent.
Okay.
In fact, that June, the boyfriend, the one who was beaten, had received a municipal citation for assault when he was accused of throwing her on the ground and punching her in the face and body at school. Okay? So dad comes into the school, and this is why that's important. I'm not saying any of this is okay. But he was accused, this boy, of domestic violence against this girl. Dad then comes into the school to visit his daughter in September, gets a copy of her class schedule and thinks, you know what, while I'm here, I'll have lunch with my kid, okay? Goes to have lunch with his daughter, and while he's walking to have lunch with the daughter, he passes the teenage boy in the hall. Words were exchanged, and then the dad allegedly violently assaulted this teenage boy. I want everyone to be clear. There are allegations of violence on the part of the victim here as well. Not saying that made it okay that dad pummeled him.
Right.
But I want you to listen to the last sentence in the story. The lawsuit claims that the school allowed an unauthorized parent and convicted felon, the dad, into the high school knowing that harm was foreseeable. Now, the school says, look, he was a dad coming to see his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And when parents come in to see their children for whatever reason, and this is quoting here earlier in the story, we don't follow them around. Once guests have checked in and are authorized to be in the school, they are not followed.
And what does him being a convicted felon have to do? So,
that's my question.
So a convicted felon
can't go see their kid at school? And I'm asking, Scott.
Well, and let me ask you another question, Dana. Does the school have to do a background check on every parent?
Bingo. That's what left me hanging. How are they to know? How are they supposed to know if, in fact, this dad, Josiah Wright, is a convicted felon, and I have no reason to deny it. It doesn't get into his felony past. But the lawsuit claims the school allowed a convicted felon into the high school knowing harm was foreseeable. I ask you, how the heck are schools supposed to keep track of which parents have criminal records, which parents do not?
Are we going to update this daily?
Who keeps that database? Now, if there's a restraining order, if there's violence in the home, absolutely they're going to know that. But I just mean, like, 3 years ago, maybe he had an assault conviction. How's the school supposed to know that?
Now, I'm not saying that I agree with what dad did. However, as the father of two daughters, if there was a boyfriend that had beaten my daughter, it would be I'm not saying I couldn't. I'm just saying it would be very hard to restrain myself if I was in his presence.
And if you did not use restraint, you would go to prison.
That is correct. I would. And obviously this beating went way too far.
I wanted to point out that I don't know that there are any saints in this story. Okay?
Fair point.
I ask you, how the heck are schools supposed to keep track of these types of situations?
I don't hold the district at fault at all.
Let him in.
This father had every right to go in. His daughter attended the school.
Okay.
They had no way of knowing that he was a convicted felon.
Can you ban a parent who happens to have a criminal past? That's the wider question.
Well, I would
here.
Make the argument that no, you do not.
Ooh.
He has.
What's the crime?
Well, he served his time.
What's the crime?
Felony battery.
Oh, man.
He beat somebody upside the head with a baseball bat.
I would love to know how schools handle this. You know, someone gets out after serving 10 years for manslaughter. Are they allowed in the school?
Five DUIs, Dana.
I don't necessarily want them in the carpool lane, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm sure you don't. Dealing drugs. 576-7798. Let's get to Mike in Kansas City. Mike, hello.
Hi, Mike. Yeah, what do you think?
I think the dad did a good thing, honestly. I mean,
you think what's a good thing? Wait, you think what's a good thing?
What the dad did?
That a dad beating a 17-year-old inside of a school building.
17, he was 18.
It doesn't matter.
I mean, he was a man.
All right, fine. But he beat him into critical condition.
I'll tell you right now. Something did it to my daughter. I did the same thing. I have no remorse either.
And you'd go to prison for that?
I've been there once. I'll go back.
Oh, Mike, if you don't mind me asking, what were you in for once?
Robbery.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, pardon. No, you're not going to get dumped.
No, he's not going to get dumped.
I thought he said because I was dumb.
Oh, because I was dumb.
Okay.
Let me just ask you a couple of questions, Scott. I'm always sidetracked by the number of people who call into the show who have serious felony convictions in their past. But whatever. You know, we're talking about this kid who is suing the school district.
I don't think he has a claim against the school
after
district.
After a parent went to the school and ended up allegedly assaulting this kid on school grounds.
Mm-hmm.
Question number one, how is a school supposed to know which parent has a felony conviction and which parent doesn't? If they are to keep track of that, who the hell keeps track of that database? Which felonies would trigger a ban? Is it all felonies? Is it armed robbery? Or is it...
violent only?
I got caught passing bad checks a few times. Question four, are you barred from the physical building or can you go to a football game? I mean, where do they draw that line? And then last question.
Sure.
If we're going to start talking about banning parents who have done bad things, what if grandma has a felony conviction? Grandpa, who keeps track of those cases? Mm-hmm. And you start to see my point, Scott.
Yeah, of course I do.
There is no way any school district could reliably keep track of thousands of relatives' legal woes.
Therefore, the school district and the school itself, Ruskin High School, I think it's Hickman Mills.
Barring some huge sensational double murder case or something, how were they supposed to know?
And if it's a double murder, I bet the chances of the dad showing up at school are pretty
high. How were they supposed to know if, in fact, this dad had a felony conviction in his past? How the heck is that school supposed to know that?
They would not. Let's get to the newsroom. Mixtape is next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.